Good afternoon, everyone. Meeting of the Licensing Committee, season public meeting open to the public, to be held on today, the 3rd of September 2024, in this Coldmoyne VC Room Town Hall, Burton-on-Trent. I refer to the first item of the agenda, apologies for absence. Daniel.
Thank you, Chair. We've received apologies from Councillor George, Councillor Jones and Councillor Walker.
Thank you. Declaration of interest. Is there any declaration of interest from any members? No. To consider any urgent business brought forward to the meeting under Rule 12. Is there any urgent business been notified? No. Minutes of previous meeting held on 4th of June 2024. I propose this minute of the meeting held on 4th of June 2024. Can I have a seconder, please? Councillor Alison Legg. Those who are in favour, could you please show your hands? Those against? Any abstention? I think it's carried. Thank you. Now, the agenda. I refer to the agenda item 5, appointment of vice chairman. Can I propose Councillor Penny Krupski for the vice chairmanship for our licensing committee? Are you? I'm proposing you the seconder.
I would like to second.
Like to second it. Those who are in favour, could you please show your hands? Very popular vice chair. Yeah. Well done. Thank you. Congratulations, Councillor Penikovsky, to be the vice chairman of the licensing committee. Now I refer to the agenda item 6, membership of the licensing general subcommittee. At present, we have about 5 members in the licensing subcommittee, and I believe all subcommittee members are wishing to carry out. So can I propose the existing subcommittee to carry on? Can I have a seconder, please? Sorry.
Could I ask a question, please,
please,
Chair? Does that include or exclude Councillor Ackroyd, who passed away?
I have the Councillor Mike Ackroyd positions in vacancy. Can I have a legal advice on this? Thank you for pointing out. Thank you. Existing all 4 members plus Jackie Jones.
So existing members plus
and Jackie Jones.
In addition to Jackie Jones, who can move forward.
Thank you, Councillor Legg, for pointing out such an important issue. As you know, we have lost our dear members, Councillor Mike Ackroyd. And in past few meetings, Councillor Jackie Jones was covering in his positions. So I would like to propose all existing members, including Jackie Jones, to continue as a subcommittee members. Can I have a second, please, Councillor Legg?
Yes. Excuse me again, I want to ask a question. I thought we'd, in the full council, the licensing position was filled by Beverly George.
Sorry, councillors. As I understand it, we're talking about the subcommittee, and licensing committee has the ability to appoint members to subcommittee. If we were talking about a licensing committee, then those appointments need to be made at full council. But that's not the case here.
Stand corrected. Thank you.
So shall I propose again to clarify everything? This appointment is for licensing general subcommittee. I would like to propose the existing licensing subcommittee member, including Councillor Jones. Can I have a seconder, please? Councillor Alison Lennig. So those who are in favour, could you please show your hands? I think it's carried. Thank you. It's unanimous. May I, respected Councillor, so may I refer to the agenda item 7. Fees for private hire and Hackney Carriage vehicles. I hope everyone have the pre-report, including the enclosure as well. Can I have a proposer for this agenda item? Councillor's leg. Can I have a seconder, please? Councillor Whittaker. Those who are in favour, could you please, before I go to, do we have... Right. My apology. I would like to present the fees for private hire and Hackney Cars vehicles, agenda item 7, which is included in the enclosure number 2. May I ask the respected members to, you know, proceed on with any debate or any questions if you might have.
Would you like me to give you an overview?
Could you please proceed?
Yeah. Okay, that's fine. So the report before you brings forward for consideration a proposed schedule of licensing fees and charges. The Council is obliged to provide a wide range of licensing and registration services in respect to certain activities, usually concerned with public protection. While some licensing fees are set centrally, such as the Licensing Act and the Gambling Act, in many cases the applicable legislation provides for the Council to set the fees locally. In cases of locally set fees, the Council is only able to recover certain elements of the costs associated with the provision of the respective licensing activity. In most cases, this relates to the administration, inspection, and decision-making processes associated with each individual license application. Enforcement costs, for example, cannot be taken into account when calculating the charges, except in certain circumstances. The Council can elect to subsidise licensing fees, but it cannot raise a revenue through its licensing activities. In previous years, the Council has sought to recover its reasonable costs. An exercise was undertaken to calculate the costs incurred by the Council associated with each licensing activity, and that informed the development of the proposed fees before you today at Appendix 1. Some but not all of the relevant statutory provisions require that where it is proposed to revise the licensing fees, the Council publish a notice of its intention and afford a reasonable time for representations to be made and considered before proceeding. In any event, it is considered good practice to consult before setting the licensing fees. The Licensing Committee do have delegated powers to consider the proposed fees and agree they are suitable for the purposes of a consultation exercise. Following the consultation, any representations can then be considered and brought before the Licensing Committee prior to adoption. So I would ask the committee to consider the schedule of fees and approve the revised schedule as suitable to be published for the purposes of a consultation exercise. I'm happy to take any questions. Thank you.
Is there any questions from the councillors? Councillor Penikrupski.
Could I ask two questions? One, how do these fees compare with other local authorities nearby?
We do some comparisons. It's very difficult to compare correctly, though, because every authority tend to bundle them in different ways. So some will bundle them together for a driver, and they'll add all the on costs, so the DBS, the driving test, the knowledge test, they'll bundle it all together, and we don't do that, we do it all separately. So it's quite difficult to compare. If you go out to places like Birmingham, Wolverhampton, where they've got a greater degree of vehicles and drivers, they're able to spread the cost more, where we're more of a smaller authority, we can't.
Yeah, my questions, my concerns are that people will go elsewhere to get their licences rather than to stay with this authority, which means we would lose revenue. And the other question was, you said you did a consultation. That was with current taxi drivers, was it?
No, we haven't done a consultation yet. I did a benchmarking exercise at the side of this to see. We always have a look to see what other authorities are charging. And in respect of our counterparts in and around Staffordshire, we're sort of on par, really, with them. But if you go to places like Wolverhampton, yeah, or Birmingham, because they are licensing so many vehicles and drivers, we just cannot compete as a smaller local authority.
Okay, thank you.
Been Councillor Huckabee indicated before.
Partially deaf myself, you know, but.
Yeah, if we look at the competitive, it's one of the very few areas where the council does not have a monopoly on the service, if it's classed as a service, which means that we're whatever the licensing reason is for, some of it is for the control of the driver and the vehicle coming onto our streets in a safe and friendly nature, complying with pollution, etc., etc. It's noticeable, very noticeable, that our taxes are being, in a sense, pushed out, first by Wolverhampton, Ashfield's another one, which is extremely competitive, and now we see a lot of Uber cars that are coming on. My concern is that if it's an area of competition, if we're not competing, then we might pass these at this meeting, but further down the line, when you come to do another analysis, which you say has been completed about the costs of this, because the costs aren't being replaced by taxes registering in East Staffordshire, there's going to be questions asked about manpower, et cetera, another hole in the council's finances which needs to be filled somehow. So the question is, do we need to be competitive to survive?
From a licensing aspect, we have to cover our costs, and unless what we're trying to do in licensing at the moment is to get our applications going through quicker through having a new database, which is one of our stumbling blocks. We've not been able to compete with Wolverhampton because they can process licenses so quickly. But I'm hoping that once we get the new database on board, we will be able to process them quickly. And I know those in East Staffordshire do want to be licensed with us if we can get our processes a lot quicker than we are currently, and they don't want to be going over to Wolverhampton, etc. One of the things with Wolverhampton and Birmingham, Uber are licensed operators with them, and they haven't come to us for an operator's license yet, but I think that, you know, things are changing. I think that will come eventually.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Margaret. Councillor Huckabee, Councillor Cotsey, just related to your questions, I think, you know, Wolverhampton isn't unique to ESBC. Obviously, Wolverhampton, their activities as a large provider of taxi licences, that's happening everywhere up and down the country. So whilst it's a consideration, it really shouldn't be having a bearing on our decision today. And what I would say is that the licensing department is carrying out a statutory function. It's not about revenue generation. We just have to make sure that we can cover our costs. And correct me if I'm wrong, Margaret, but it's not the case that the current fees are assisting us with doing that. And one of the reasons that we're having to look at reviewing our fees is because we haven't done so for such a long time. Was it 2015, Margaret? The last time we reviewed our fees. That's a long time ago. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Can I just reconfirm that the proposed changes fully cover our current costs in full?
Yes, they do. We've worked with finance. I've worked with my accountant to work through all the fees and charges, so we know it will cover. What happens as well is because we are obliged to issue 3 and 5 year licenses, 3 for the drivers and 5 for the operators, what we have to do is bring the fees in, and then they have to keep us going for the year, the 3 year, 5 years, so it's equaled out before we get them coming back again to renew the licenses.
Sorry, just a follow-up question, sir. As the fees have not... Sorry, just to take you on your last point, if I can get this correct. So, if it's the operators, let's ad lib here, the licences would normally be £100, but we add inflation for the next 5 years... Okay, I understand that slightly. But when you calculate that in the number of hours that takes for the 5 year period, do you not also take into account the increased annual costs that will undoubtedly occur over the next 5 years?
What the accountant does, he works out an hourly rate for us for a licensing officer to undertake the activity, and then we apply that to the hours it takes. We're not allowed to use inflation to put our prices up because the legislation doesn't allow us to do that. There's a lot of case law surrounding it, and that's one thing we're not allowed to do.
Thank you. So we make a loss.
We normally break...
You have to make a loss. On that calculation, sorry, you make a loss on it. That is the first point. The second point, sorry, I realise you want to come in, John. The 2015, we've not raised the costs at all. So we've borne the lack of increase for 8-9 years... We've borne the loss we've incurred every year due to the fact that we've not inflated the price by RPI. And we now further make a loss on 5 years' lack of RPI. We still make a loss, and the critical thing is we make a thumping loss. There's no question on that.
Thank you, Chair. I mean, just to come in there, Councillor Krupsky, I think obviously we've referred to the council's accountants, qualified accountants, throughout when we've been referring to the figures, and they have to be our compass, they have to be our guiding star in such matters. So whilst I see what you're trying to assert there in terms of a loss, I'm not entirely sure where we're going with it, because, like I say, we've pulled these figures together, speaking to the right people at the council, and these are the figures that we're putting forward. It's not a finger in the air job. The accountants have done the maths, and here we are.
Okay, thank you for that. But I hear what you say, and I take it for granted that we use professional services here, as we undoubtedly do. But the calculation, as explained, makes the particular item makes a loss, and there's no getting away from it. You know, the figures are quite clear. You do not have to be an accountant to realise that on the premise of this, we've made a loss for quite a long time because we've not increased it for whatever reasons in previous administrations. And the way we calculate it, I do understand we can't make a profit. We're not making profit, we're covering our costs. And clearly, by not including inflation and going back since 2015, you are making a loss. And that's the point I'm making. Thank you.
I would like to just one point to be clear from you, if you can give me clarifications before. Rightly remember, when was the last time we increased this one in 2015? Was it the last?
Yes, the last time we had any increase was 2015.
And some of the increase is like really, for me, I could be wrong, so disproportionate. For example, the cancer panel and plate exemption used to be £15, and now we are proposing £308. Mm-hmm. And some of the increase is like 20%, 30%, and it's for the, I'm advocating for my constituents. Once the inflation's going down to 2%, how are we going to give it to, ask the drivers to pay this one? Mm-hmm. And why this is not a flat increase to everything? Some of them are 200-300% increase. And another £1 was cardholder and lanyard. Now we are asking them to pay £10, which is like 1,000%.
Yeah, the lanyard, et cetera, we buy those in from an outside company, and we've always tried to keep the cost down on things like that, but unfortunately the costs from the company that we use have now gone up considerably. So we've had to charge what it costs us to buy them in.
I think in the long run, would you agree that we are in a council, really we would be in a very difficult position when saying some of the increase is like £81 and it's like 20, 30, 40%. You know the comparison I'm trying to do with that?
Well, we haven't had a rise for so many years now, and the plate and panel exemption was advertised incorrectly at the time. It was advertised last time, but we were stuck with it because it was advertised. So we've had to put the real figure in now as to what it does cost us.
Thank you, Chair. And just to come in, the last time the office has attempted to put a report for reviewing the fee to councillors, it was not back. So therefore, that's why we are here now. So, and it's taking so long. So here we are. There is going to be a slightly more drastic uplift in fees, but that's due to the passage of time. Nothing too. So, thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Penikovsky.
Can I ask, because the prices haven't gone up since 2015, there's been no review. What was the black hole? How much black hole has accumulated over that period of time, then?
With that, I haven't got the figures in front of me to be able to advise. We can get that for you.
Please, I would appreciate it, because if this is going to go through, we need to justify to the consumers exactly the state of play. So it's no good just saying that we're putting up these prices. It looks as if we're doing it through greed, which we're not. So we've got to have the data to actually sell this if we're going to go through with it.
John, need to, if you could respond this one.
Just simply to say, councillors, I mean, the report in front of you today, and it is something that will need to be voted on. It's about advertising, going out to consultation, the notice. I mean, we can't forget what happened during COVID as well. I think that was a huge spin and had a significant bearing on everything.
Nine years.
No, but it would have, with respect, Councillor Krupski, you know, that would have had a bearing regardless. You're right, it was 9 years ago. 2015, like I say, it was the last time that we reviewed it. A report did come forward in that time. It wasn't progressed. But just to reiterate, what's being asked today is to go out to consultation on these things. Of course, we would come back with comments, obviously the feedback that we received, which will either be welcomed by the trade or perhaps not, and we take it from there. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Huckabee, yeah. Apologies.
I respect John's ability to intervene and what have you, but this is a case of mathematics, not legalities. What Councillor Krupski's catchphrase that he should be using is, we're always playing catch-up. Now, what you could guide me on, being a new member this last year of this administration, is just what my responsibilities are. I know I come to this as a member of a group, and proportionate gives the numbers of those that sit round. But there are greater responsibilities than just licensing. I sit through meetings of the group and through the full council, and I hear about price rises, cost rises, because of certain black holes that are projected by the Treasury. And there's attempts there to fill them. Now, if this particular structure has to be a catch-up because of the legalities of not being allowed to add each year an amount of a questionable amount of inflation, then if we're going to run at a loss, that loss has to be financially controlled and into the books. As far as I'm aware, it's not in the books. Therefore, when these things are presented, I mean, I remember early last year when the Treasury report configured, estimated what the development of those losses would be. And my comment was, we have to deal with this as soon as possible, otherwise it's going to get out of hand, and we're going to be looking at trimming services, trimming labour force, this, that, or the other. Now, is this loss actually included in the Treasury calculations?
I'm not able to answer that question,
well,
I'm afraid.
But
I don't know.
I respect the limitations.
Yeah, I can advise is that I'm guided by our accountant, and he gives us a figure. We work out how many hours, and they were quite happy with the figures when I've submitted it to them. And as I say, it's a case of putting in the pot the 3 year, 5 years fees, so that it keeps us going for those 3 and 5 years.
But there are elements in the corporate midterm financial mumbo jumbo that's put out where we put question marks against certain financial developments. One of those is pensions. That stood out for a long time because we didn't know what the situation was with regard to pensions. We were not able to itemise it down to the last penny. And so that was one of the big things that stood out. But this is another accountancy area that we should have under control. And if it's just left to the whim of inflation, then it's not under control. So it must be budgeted for, and it must be in a contingency, so that when the reality happens, we know whether or not we've got a financial hole or we've got a positive one which can be applied to spending elsewhere. So this is about the response. I sit on this, I sit on the planning committee, I hear a lot of stuff which is time, how would we put it, that it's the time that these things are established but almost immediately eroded by whatever the future is. And I don't feel that we've got this, these things under control. It's not just licensing, it's other things as well.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, I might be described as a skinflint or whatever, but I think finances are the key to everything. I sit on the committee that scrutinises climate change, and I'm fearful there that this council cannot fund what is necessary to enable everyday work to go on, everyday structures to be maintained. So it's a key area, and it's not one that we can just say that's that department and nothing can be discussed there because it's just the people on it, or that one there we can't. There's got to be some sort of collective analysis, some uncoupling of this departmental. Holistic is the word, I think, that's now.
I'd like to ask John, before I go to Councillor Krupski, I'd like John to respond to this one question. I've got
Thanks, Jake. Councillor, I'm just a little worried we're getting a little bit off target here. Only because, obviously, this is part of the council's corporate plan to review the licensing fees. This is in the council, the administration's manifesto as well. I think you spoke about a loss there, Councillor Huckabee, and things not being documented. I'm not clear. Obviously why there seems to be a lack of faith in the council's finances and the ability of our statutory officers to monitor this kind of thing. But like I say, whilst I can acknowledge what your concerns are, I think what the report's doing today is whether or not we go out for a consultation on these fees so we can then get feedback on those fees and we can look as a council to move with that feedback and consider it. So whilst I can appreciate the topic and the finances that have been discussed in your comments, I do believe we're veering off track respectfully a little bit, because the decision that's being asked to be made today is quite a simple one, and it's on the proposed fees based on the advice that we've got from our accountants, having done a calculation of the work of our officers. So I just think that what you're saying is perhaps an assumption to a certain extent, that, you know, why isn't this being documented? Well, I believe it is. I think we've got very good statutory officers at the council. But I'm not entirely sure that we need to be considering that for the purpose of making the decision to go out to consult today, because no decision's being made on the fees. It's just the decision to go out and consult on those fees.
If I may respond very quickly,
because other councillors. Yes, please.
We're not veering off track now. We veered off track a substantial amount of time ago, and any self-respecting organisation has to know what it's setting forward for approval. I'm not interested in other people. I represent 8,000 people from Branston, as well as being in the administration. I have two hats to wear, and it's essential to my anxiety that I understand what's going on in all areas, and I'm waiting yet to be convinced. There is no total sum of the rises expected in the paper that has been presented. I don't believe there is. I might have missed it. Is it in the region of 50,000, 60,000? What is it? Because that's the catch-up amount of money that we're having to find. So I'm sorry if I'm too, I don't know, pedantic or nitpicky or whatever, but you know, this is a committee I sit on, and I ask questions, and if I'm not happy with the answers or satisfied with the answers, I have to ask another one until I am satisfied.
I think we all respect you. You represent 8,000 people, and we all represent our people. We are all right to ask the questions, and we are privileged to have our very capable officer to interact with us and answer response. You're more than welcome to ask the questions as well. On this note, can I invite Councillor Krupski to ask any questions?
Thank you, Chair. It's along the same vein. don't expect the same answer, though. Prior to any consultation, I think we as members of the licensing committee should fully understand the rationale and reasons for the proposal. Now, I don't think we have that. And we shouldn't be going to consultation without ourselves fully understanding all the mechanics and the finances behind it. Because it's a little bit like if we do go ahead and we're going to be asking the questions we want to ask now, afterwards, which may change the whole outcome of the proposal, we would look incredibly foolish to close that proposal down and reissue another one. So I think it's in all our interests to understand quite fully, and if it means dragging the accountants down, and so be it. And I think as a individual observation, I think it would be prudent to involve and invite the accountant responsible for the proposal to this meeting and any other meetings to be on hand to fully explain to the members. Thank you.
Thank you. May I invite Councillor Whittaker, please?
I think we're in the unlucky position that this has been kicked down the road, basically, because if it had been done when it's said, we wouldn't be in this position now. But saying that, we are where we are now. We don't want to frighten people away. We need to encourage people to come. What I'd like to ask is when the consultation, how is the consultation approached? Who's approached? And is there, are the reasons given that it's non-profit making in that consultation to alleviate any fears that any residents might have?
Firstly, when we go out to consultation, we consult with the trade and with our garages and with members. A notice is published in the local newspaper and then it goes onto our website. And then we obviously have the feedback to look at. We also have a trade meeting, so we'll get members of the trade together to discuss why they're going up and how they're going up. And that's basically how we would consult.
So when it's reported in the local press, then is it made clear in that situation why they're going up and the reasoning behind it?
No, what we,
because I mean, obviously you're saying you want your residents to know, not to think we're just sort of making this money, but that might alleviate some of the problems if it's pointed out to them that we're doing this because of the pressures on the council to safeguard the service, but also to because we can't make any profit out of it, it isn't a profit making, and we don't sort of put the council in that light that it's a profit making thing.
Yeah, we're obliged to put in out consultation a statutory notice, and it has the information on that we're allowed to put within that notice. It doesn't have anything around that. If you look at other local authority websites, it doesn't say why they're going up. It just says that we're going out to consultation on fees and charges and what they're going to be.
Is there not a possibility to do that? I mean, you say that, you know, we don't do that, but doesn't always mean that you can't do it?
No.
Just to confirm, Councillor Whittaker, the legislation sets out statutory requirements. That doesn't mean that we would be limited in terms of the content of the notice. So we could go beyond what the statutory requirements are and explain this a little bit more. But just coming back to your point, that information as well is in the report in terms of, you know, we've been operating in terms of a loss, for want of a better expression, that we haven't updated the fees. That information is all in the report. And this is, of course, a public report. So, you know, we're not blindsiding anyone here. But that can be echoed, that could be emphasised in future notices, and of course we can make a note of that if we get to that point today, but I can see that I think we've got a bit more discussion on the subject. Is that okay, Councillor Whittaker? Does that answer your questions? Or?
Yeah, it's fine by me. I'm, And also for something into place that after 5 years, is 5 years a sort of normal time to review because of the length of the licences? Or what is the sort of, is there a sort of an easy time to review the costs and everything associated rather than let's say it doesn't happen again?
Tim, then we should be looking at them on a yearly basis. With last, I was just looking at the report, the last time we brought a report before the committee was the 2nd of November 21, when that didn't go any further at that time. So, as I say, it has been quite some time that we've had no review of the fees.
Why did it not go forward? Was it political?
We brought it to the licensing committee, and it didn't want to go forward with it.
Oh, right, okay.
Can I invite Councillor Legg? Thanks for your patience.
Thank you. You have answered some of mine, but is there any reason why we don't do a yearly review of it, please? Is it cost, manpower? Thanks.
We don't normally, we look at our fees, look at how they're looking at within our budgets, and that's sort of our internal review, and then periodically then we would go out to consultation to review the fees if the accountant says that we need to start and look at them again and with regard to an increase.
Can I come back when I've had to think about the answer? Thanks.
Councillor Krupski, yeah.
Just a couple of observations on the consultation. My experience of consultations is those that are involved in the consultation don't fully understand what is being consulted upon unless it's laid out very well in a simple layman's language, not... in diplomatic core language. It needs to be very straightforward, and I think that should occur on every single time that we consult, so that the individuals have a very clear understanding of what is proposed. When is it proposed, why is it proposed, and how will it come about? So that was on that point. In terms of the yearly review, picking up on one of the councillor's questions, this is not a big thing. If you know how many man hours the process takes, the only variable is the cost. So if the whole process takes, I'm ad-libbing here, 100 hours, and you go next year to that department head and say, has it changed? No, it hasn't. So it's 100 hours times the current hourly rate. And so that process should take 15, 20 minutes, no more. And that can be done very effectively, very clearly. And you can see, rather than waiting a 5, 6, 7 year period, then to be astounded. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Krupski. May I just also respectfully remind all the members that it is a constitutional obligation for us to propose this one, to send this to the consultation, am I right, to the residents. And now the questions in front of us, are we happy to go ahead with the consultation or not? Councillor Huckabee.
It's all about questions, I guess. Do you do an annual tidy-up of the losses that this particular system incurs, in the sense that we know then what the situation is in real time, in real pounds, etc., etc.?
So that kind of exercise would be undertaken by the councils, financed by the department, by the council's accountants. It wouldn't be done obviously myself and Margaret would know about it, but the exercise would be undertaken by the accountants. Now, going back to your comment as well, Councillor Krupski, respectfully, reviews tend to take place, a review of fees, every 2 to 3 years. Now, that changes, it can differ between local authorities, but that's following central government guidance. So it's never done on a yearly basis. It's never the case. Wherever I've been, Worcestershire, Gloucestershire, it's every 3 years that they tend to review the fees.
So going back to what I said previously, within the accounts, within the structure of our accounts, there are unknown debts, unquantified debts. Now, it is a small proportion of what we get involved with, granted, but accountants, they like to round off to the nearest tenth of a penny, and they like to make the columns add up to exactly a penny. It's catch-up. We're having to repair the damage of not having updated for 9 years, regardless of why that decision was taken. Now, it seems to me that this current generation of taxi drivers, of sex shop operators, because I noticed that's on the list as well, why they should have to pay such, because there'll be different people, there'll be different individuals, it won't be the same names as it was 9 years ago, why they should have to pay for this catch-up. So you've got two options. You can either lift the current charges by the inflationary rate of this last year, which is one way of doing it, and politically more presentable, but it still leaves you with that 8 years of negative income. And that has to be dealt with by the cabinet, I guess, the financial cabinet member, to decide how to cover that. Now, again, I don't see as why people who are outside there doing hard work and what have you should have to shoulder the weight, financial weight, of the fact that the council has not updated its books for 9 years. And that seems to me to be unfair. Now, it might be legislated by the government, okay, but...
John would like to...
Councillor Huckabee, that, with respect, that's quite misleading. To put it in that phrase, that the council hasn't updated its book. So could I remind you to please measure what you're going to say at the committee meeting, because that, you know, it's a public meeting, and that's not the case here. We are guided by our accountants who have advised us throughout from the inception of this report. So to put it like that is a little off the mark.
I apologise for the use of words.
Yes.
I search sometimes.
No, apology accepted. But deciding on licensing fees and going out to consultation is a constitutional responsibility of this committee. So, no, it does not need to go back to Cabinet, Councillor Huckabee, and that's because it's been looked at by the Council's Cabinet and Finance Departments before it's reached you today, and also the Corporate Management Team. I think we are going off track a little bit, and I do think that there's a picture being painted here unnecessarily. Of course, we can feed back what you've said. We can take into account the comments of Councillor Whittaker, which I think are sage and wise comments in terms of what we put forward to residents during the consultation. But... I think, like I say, I'd ask you to measure your comments and your words going forward, because, like I say, the word in use is very negative and it's not applicable. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Can I ask our Vice Chairman?
Thank you, Chair. Just asking, will we have sight of this consultation document before it actually goes out?
So could you please arrange this one for us?
Absolutely. I'm happy to ask Margaret to circulate that document. And
would we be able to give any feedback or not, or would it be a fait accompli?
Councillor Krupski, that depends on the feedback, doesn't it? But of course we'd take it into account. So, and as long as it was constructive, it was relevant, you know. Absolutely.
Yeah, but can I also say, I think we're in a difficult situation. We've inherited this situation, and I think we're going to have to go with rises in costs. I can't see any other way around it, to be honest, because we've got to balance the book somehow. It's just I would like to... I'm just a bit concerned about the consultation, the wording of the consultation, the presentation of it to going out to the public.
Thank you, Councillor Grimsby. Well, like I say, the law specifies what we have to include in a consultation, but that doesn't mean that we can't go beyond that and give a bit more of a narrative and explanation if that's the wishes of the committee.
Thank you. Thank you, John. I agree with Vice Chairman that it's been 9 years. Normal practice, what legal officers say, that about 3 years to 4 years, but it's been 9 years. This is why in this position now. Before I proceed to anyone, I might have missed your indications or anything. Either Councillor Wildman or Councillor Guskin have any contribute. So on this note, I am just moving. Is there any other councillors wishes to speak before I proceed to the vote? That's fine. I would like to ask, can I have a proposal for this proposal of item 7? Councillor Legg, can I have a seconder? Councillor Whittaker, those who are in favour, could you please show your hands? I'm coming. Those against? Any abstentions? I'm abstaining. Respected councillors, we are in the last item of the agenda now, and I would like to thank you for your contributions. There was a very thorough debate and everything. Thank you, officers and legal officer, for your valuable contributions as well. Yes, Councillor Legg.
I'd like to bring any other business to you, please, if I could.
It's not included, is there, in my agenda, but is there any other business? Any councillors have at this moment, but this is not included in the agenda.
It's not, but it's at your discretion. Chair.
Yes, I would like to use this discretion. I'm just conscious about I've only got 6 minutes left for the next meeting as well. Is there any other business left? Yes, Councillor Legg. Yeah.
I'd like to ask the committee to consider moving the sub-licensing meetings back to daytimes, please, because I feel it'd be better on the subcommittee, the officers, because they are limited on officers when we have an evening meeting. So I would like this on the as an agenda item for the next meeting, please.
Well, there was many councillors have their other obligations and commitment. That's why they cannot do in the morning time and daytime. And for myself, I have to step aside from the committee as well. Hence why in our last meeting, we have arranged this one to do, go for the morning to the evening time, and it was passed and voted as well. So for the next committee meeting, I'm not sure whether we should include this one, and this any other business is not included in this committee, so that I am not in favor of going through any vote for including this one as well. It has been decided in the past. John, do you want to add anything?
You did approve that there could be any other business, and Councillor Legg bought some other business before you, so I think you should act on it. I would like to second that the fact that we move the meetings to mornings, not just the subcommittees, the main committee meeting as well.
I respect both of your opinion, there is no doubt. Hence why I would like to have the second opinion from the legal officer.
Thank you, Chair. I understood Councillor Legg's making a proposal, and I understand Councillor Guskin has seconded it. Therefore, it is something that you can put to the vote, because that, as a licensing committee, you can decide on what time you operate. So that is something that can be voted on now, or if you wanted to put it to next time.
I would like to propose... Yes, Councillor Legg.
Could I ask Margaret, as the licensing officer, what she thinks of it, please?
To be honest.
they would prefer a daytime meeting. I haven't got that many officers that work the Monday, Tuesday, although they do provide the reports and they're not able to come and present them as they would like to do so. Operationally, it would suit us better. Obviously being at work all day, although we do work evenings as well. But yes, it would suit the officers.
Thank you, Mark. Can I respectfully ask, which is proposed by Councillor Legg and seconded by Councillor Guskin, to include the changing of time for our next agenda item in our next council licensing meeting, please? Can I? We have the seconder. Those who are in favour, could you please show your hands that it should be included in the agenda for discussion and subsequently with goals? We should include this one and we will hear this one. Yeah.
Can I ask when the next meeting is then?
Thank you, councillors, and and thanks for your contributions again, and I would like to close the meeting at this stage at the moment.